You know, I only did the one show with this headset before we took the break after I, had to switch all my audio stuff around because the last one broke. And I guess these weren't as broken in then. I think these have much better bass response than the ones I was used to. this is Pure Decking, show number 502 for Thursday, January the 5th, 2005. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and drinking. Show's back tonight. We have an Are You? What's up, Are You?
Not much, man. Not much.
And we have a Madman.
Hola. I'm drinking, and pretty soon I'll start poisoning my friends. It'll be fun for everyone.
There we go. Wait. The second half of that now has me concerned.
Don't worry. I think I can do this correctly, and we won't die. If it'll make you feel any better, I'll drink it before you do.
Oh, well.
Thank you, Mr. Jones.
No, I think he waited till last. I'm willing to go first on this. And I'll look and see if I, make horrible faces and spit crap out, but hoping to be schooled enough that you'll at least have to endure the horrible, if not the death.
Oh, I've got it. I've got it. Yet okay. It took me a second. Madman's trying to make his own beer.
Okay.
So I was like, no, you've got the order wrong. You start the cult, then you serve the Kool-Aid. But took me a second.
Oh, damn it. And then you can have sex with all the chicks first. Yeah, we got to do this cult thing. I'm going to lay down some ground rules. We're not doing that Heaven's Gate neutering shit.
Well, I don't know. I mean, depending on, how okay you are with necrophilia. Okay, that joke's gonna get bad. I'm gonna stop that right now. Because you're gonna one up it. I know you're gonna one up it.
I was gonna leave it buried dead, and probably still being banged by whoever we
Oh.
buried with it.
Okay. So, I know I was talking about trying to reformulate the show and trying to find new news sources, and I did find some new sources for news stories, but most of them were, it's like I've got one of them in here tonight because I do want to kind of theme what I'm talking about a little bit, and so do some of these stories, but and I do want to focus on our conversations and discussions more and the news events a little bit less because just reading the news, there's lots of people who do that and probably better at it. So, it's like, no, what we're talking about is more interesting than, some random news article, right? So, I'd rather kind of focus on us talking more. So, I need to actually, one of the things I need to do is start planning with you guys a little bit better on the topics and the shows so that we can guarantee we'll have something to talk about as opposed to just reading an article and all of us going, yep. So,
Yeah.
I do want to do that. So, I guess for this and the first couple of articles here, focusing, I want to talk about, crypto. Specifically, cryptocurrencies, tokens, NFTs, all that fun shit, right? And it is because there's a lot of that in the news lately. I got an
Well,
article here from
FTX blew up just after
FTX.
we went off air.
FTX blew up, and that's just turned into a nightmare because it's probably going to take half of the damn crypto industry down with it, which is probably a good thing. Because the more I've looked into it, the more, the best way to put it is a lot of these cryptocurrencies are commodities with nothing backing them. And I know we've talked about this before. We talked about this years ago when it first started up. But, that was just when it was things like Ethereum or Doge or Bitcoin itself. And I've played with the technology. I still have a flipping helium miner running, right? I still have, a hardware wallet and I've got a couple of coins floating around. But FTX blowing up was absolutely a good example of, what we always say about Bitcoin exchanges. Take your money out of them. Don't leave your money sitting in them if you ain't going to use it. Like, if you're actively trading, I get that. Keep, you know, keep what you need to trade in there. Cool. But don't leave all of your money sitting on an exchange. They're not banks. And FTX is a fantastic example of that. So,
yeah, FTX wasn't even a good brokerage firm.
Well, the gag of it is, you think about what FTX did, right? They took customer funds out of FTX, moved it into Alameda Research, I think is the name of the company, and then started making investments with it, thinking they were going to get a big return. It didn't work. Now, I'm sure that they thought they were just covering themselves, and then the next return for investments, they'll put the money back, it'll be covered as well. Like, I'm sure that, you know, it wasn't really like straight up, we're going to scam people, bad intentions, twirl the mustache. But you still got there in the end. You know, you still did it. So, although I'm not sure about that, considering they set up the damn thing in Panama, wasn't it?
So, yeah.
You know, if you're incorporating your exchange in a foreign country to avoid laws, maybe, maybe that's an indicator.
But it's how they got so wealthy, Morps.
That's true.
I don't know if you followed any of that. That was interesting how they were just creating their own coins out of nothing, getting the hype train going, you know, making an absolute mint on when the coins is released by dumping their shit out onto the market, cashing out while everybody else is left holding the bag.
Oh, yeah.
They did that like...
It's classic pump and dump.
They did that for, 2 years to build it all up? Meanwhile, paying off any press or business association to tell them that they're great people. You know?
Well, they've still got people defending them to this day. Now, I think part of that is because they were making massive donations and, you know, keeping people happy and taking care of the right people. But,
yeah,
you know, the more you dig into it, it's not just FTX. I mean, this stuff is playing out all over the place. Then Ethereum.
No, this. I mean, they get him into court or her. She gives a deposition of who else is involved to keep herself out of prison. It's going to be very interesting because you're going to see quite a few, what do they call them, promoters or hypers or whatever the fuck they are, social media influencers.
I don't think that's
probably
the usual
going
term.
To prison. Probably going to prison for scamming people.
Them going to prison would be hard to prove because they're essentially advertisers. You'd have to prove that the advertiser knew that the company was effectively embezzling.
Some of the email chains, yes, some of the people on YouTube who were promoting the coin knew it was a fucking scam and were in on it from day one.
Well, a lot of them were told to buy in to the coin before they pushed it so they could sell it once the price went up.
That's what they did, yeah.
And, I mean, that's classic market manipulation. It's fraud.
Yeah.
The only reason there was even a question about these people being charged and going to jail is because it's in crypto. If this was in any other brokerage or commodities market or exchange, just the commingling of funds alone would have seen the entire C-level of that company grounded up and brought into jail.
Yeah.
I mean, the moment that got out, that's done. It's game over. The only reason there was confusion about it is because, oh, it's crypto, it's blockchain, it's all... It's like, no, you know what? At the end of the day, cryptocurrency is a really cool technology. I like the blockchain. Blockchain is a fantastic ledger or record. You know, if you run a public blockchain with lots of signatories, and that's what your miners are, by the way. They're verifying the transactions and then mining and then figuring out the next block in the chain and then verifying the block when somebody submits one to the cluster, right? So that's what miners are. That's what they're doing, is they're validating the transactions and building the next block in the chain. The whole reason a blockchain is secure is because if I go back and try to modify transactions a couple of blocks ago, you have to re-encrypt every block since because you can't. It's immutable. Once you've confirmed that block and signed it into the chain and another block is signed in behind it, you can't change it because at that point you've broken the chain. You broke the ledger. So... You know, and a lot of these things aren't centrally controlled. They're just out running. So, you know, Bitcoin's the classic example. Ethereum, I think, is centrally controlled. I forget the name of the bank that's or the company that's running it. because they've rolled it back once or twice. And I know that you've had different splits, like, you know, a couple of different Bitcoins, a couple of different Ethereums, things like that, where they've split the chain at some point because they wanted to change something, usually on a technology side. But, you know, with Ethereum's smart contracts, that introduced this whole idea of tokens. So you got all these different tokens now for these different games.
Then you've got, like, Player 3 entering the market, which is the CBDCs.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and then you get NFTs terrifying. On top of that.
Well, if you buy NFTs, you're a fucking idiot.
Well, of course. Oh, and like we were talking about the other day, I thought I knew what NFTs were because you were encrypting a token that represented the file. I thought it was an MD5 hash or something. Come to find out, no, the fucking URL of the image half the time. It's like, that's it. You bought a URL, and you paid how much for it? So
yeah, it'll all be worth it when the metaverse gets here.
Well, you know, I've played with a lot of those technologies, and frankly, a lot of these cryptocurrencies are really cool technology to build what are essentially Chuck E. Cheese tickets.
Uh-huh. Get your troll doll pencil at the end of the day, right?
Right. I mean,
as you go home in the car ride.
Well, I mean, you look at the Logan Paul thing, because that's what kind of, you know, brought me back into this right before we started the show back up. And, you know, I've got an article here from, what's this website, cryptoslate.com, you know, about him and the CoffeeZilla guy going back and forth. And apparently Logan Paul's going to sue him for defamation, although
Paul's a Fed.
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah, he got turned by the Feds ages ago.
So he said he's got defamation, but I watched the CoffeeZilla stuff, and I don't think he's got a defamation case there. It's not flattering, but it's not a defamation case. But, so let me read this one. This is from The Verge. Coinbase fined $50 million over claims it violated anti-money laundering laws to the state of New York. I mean, gee, no shit. People using crypto for money laundering, you don't say. yeah, Coinbase has agreed to pay a $50 million penalty to the New York State Department of Financial Services over the allegations that cryptocurrency exchange broke any money laundering laws. As part of the settlement, Coinbase is required to invest an additional $50 million in its compliance program to help prevent future violations. The rest of the story goes on and on about this, and, you know, they've got all their public statements in the court filing there. But, I mean, you know, FTX going down is just going to bring all kinds of spotlight to all of these little crypto, I guess fintechs is what the category would be for these companies. And, you know, this is going to come up with Coinbase now, and, you know, the Logan Paul thing, because he was starting his crypto zoo thing, which, I mean, was supposed to be some kind of version of Pokemon, but with NFTs. And that's again where I'm coming up with the comparison to Chuck E. Cheese tickets. But the reason I say that is not just because it's like, you know, you get these little tokens that aren't really worth anything outside of the system that they're in, right? I mean, I guess you can sell them on an exchange if somebody's willing to pay for them. But the only intrinsic value they have is whatever they're worth to the next buyer.
That means they have no intrinsic value.
Well, right. That, like a traditional commodity, like a metal or something, you know, even gold and silver have an industrial use. So if for some strange reason the value of gold tanked, you could, you know, and you were holding a bunch of it, you could still sell it off as an industrial product for use in electronics, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't imagine the value of gold ever tanking just because it never has, but that's, you know, that's the same assumption that you use to know that the sun's going to rise tomorrow. Maybe it's not as good an analogy as I'd like, but I'm not a finance guy, which is why we have Mad Men. Mad Men, help me out here.
Well, for something to have intrinsic value, it means it's never going to tank. Now, it might not be as worth as much as you think it is, but it always has some value. NFTs have no intrinsic value. The argument can be said the same for paper money, which is why a lot of people wanted us to have our money attached to a commodity. But as far as just any crypto, until it's either attached to an actual commodity or is being used by a government, it isn't going to have true value. And the only reason I think it could work if it's attached to a government is it's going to solve one of the problems we have with our current monetary system, which is the government just printing money and inflating it. But that's also why no government I know of is going to adopt the crypto technology the way I want. Because it prevents them from just arbitrary inflating money.
Right.
But that's, I think, would be the true value of what's come up with. Just implementing it. Because I think it's a great technology. We're just not using it for anything worth using it for. It's being used, as far as Bitcoin, as a speculative holding. It's been going up, so we're going to buy it and hold it and hope it goes up and just sell it when we can turn a profit. That's the way Bitcoin's been going. We're not using it to buy and sell stuff.
And all the quote Web3 stuff, all the games, all the, you know, the different metaverse attempts, I haven't seen them doing anything terribly useful. It's kind of like crypto first, and then, oh yeah, we'll tag a game or a virtual world on it. And I think that's one of the reasons why these things aren't taking off, though, is because, like, if I took, I don't know, Second Life back in the day, or World of Warcraft, and attached an NFT to it, you know, that'd be, that NFT would do fantastic. But, you know, making your own little kind of pseudo game, you know, just grabbing the Unreal Engine and throwing something out there together and hooking it into the blockchain and saying because it's on blockchain it'll be popular, I don't think that works. You know, you need, if you're going to do a game system and hook an NFT into it, the game has to be damn good first and then put the NFTs in it. You know what I mean? Like, the whole NFT thing would be great as a way of managing, like, an inventory into something like a Second Life where you could buy and sell virtual goods. But again, it needs to be within that system, and every system that's going to interact with that kind of a token would need to respect how the rules of that system. You know, whether it's through a smart contract on something like the Ethereum chain or something that's coded up, or maybe a private blockchain. You know, if I'm running my own games, you know, MMO kind of thing, you know, maybe I don't need this big public blockchain. Maybe I run my own just to keep the frickin' costs down. Because that's the other thing that kills you, is the transaction fees on all this stuff is stupid high. So it doesn't really make sense to work in small amounts, even though the thing should only be worth small amounts because the transaction fees are so damned high.
I don't see why you would even link blockchain to a game. I don't see what the advantage of that is.
Because it would be an immutable ledger. So if you're going to be, if you want that kind of, because you could publish the block, you could make access to the blockchain public, sort of like Bitcoin is, right? Like, you can go, if you have a wallet, you can go see every transaction in that wallet. Now, attributing that wallet to somebody might not be the easiest thing in the world, but. And
that's awesome, but in a game, why do I care how many right hands of Ragnaros there are? With the WoW example.
Well, you might be able to sell those right hands of Ragnaros on some kind of an exchange outside of the game for money. But, or, if you're trading them in the game for in-game currency, you might want to be able to, you know, track how many they are, especially if you're producing those right hands of Ragnaros and it's not something where the game's just going to spawn so many every once in a while. You know, if you wanted to put like a limited amount of them in the game kind of thing. You're right. It's not a great example, but it's the best one I can think of for a good use of an NFT.
My ideas for like use of the blockchain and at least crypto, I can't think of a good use for NFT. I can think of good uses for crypto. We could phase out money transfers if we went to a crypto-based currency. Because you would need to go to Western Union. You just move it from my wallet to your wallet and ta-da, we just did a wire transfer. I've just cut out banks. I've just cut out wiring services and all those fees.
Okay, I see what you're saying, yeah.
And as far as linking actual currency to it, I've already pointed out, it removes a government's ability to inflate thus taxing their citizens through printing extra cash.
Go ahead, Arya.
I was just saying, cutting out the middleman, madman is a very dangerous talk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, banks would be up in arms about doing that because you're killing a lot of the revenue stream.
I mean, you'd be much better off having information that would convict Hillary Clinton.
Which I do not have.
I want to reiterate, like to say, nobody affiliated with Galaxy 15.
I'm just saying, there's no way they'd do that, madman. You're killing the golden goose at that point.
I can't say they wouldn't, because banks have cannibalized income streams before.
I think they would try to own it. They would try to own and control it, rather than just completely cut it off. If they could control it, they would. They'd go for it in a heartbeat. Because then it would be a revenue stream. I mean, you guys know I was looking in, you know, my job actually tasked me with looking into, you know, some of this stuff.
Yeah.
So one of the other reasons I get interested in it is I wanted to see, you know, was there anything real to it? And, I mean, there's a lot of activity happening, but I don't know how much of it is actually productive activity. Very little of it is, from what I've seen. So,
early on, when they were actually attempting to use it as currency, I saw the potential for productive activity, but the market didn't move into it. There wasn't enough companies willing to take a Bitcoin as a payment for it to become productive. So right now, it's just activity, and I know I've been wrong every time I've said this, because Bitcoin hasn't collapsed yet, but it's just you're chasing the bigger idiot. I got in, I'm hoping there's a bigger idiot than me who's willing to pay me money for this, and I cash out before it collapses.
Well, one of the best lines I heard, I think it was on one of the interviews Coffeezilla did when he was talking with some of these guys, was that the way you know if something is blockchain or not is, did you have to pay for a data transfer? And that alone is going to kill it. There's no, you know, if I have to pay for every data transfer in and out of the blockchain, I mean, you know, that's back in the early days of the internet when AOL was trying to charge for minutes, you know, versus everybody else just giving it away for free. It doesn't work. You can't monetize it that way. And I feel like that, at the end of the day, is the problem. Is again, you go back to these transaction fees. And I don't know. But I know there's going to be a lot of people lose a lot of money in this. And you know, I know you and I were talking about that earlier, and it's like, is that really a problem? And I think in the long run, it's probably not.
I don't think so either.
It's going to suck because there's going to be a lot of people get hurt, but I think you're right that in the long run, it's probably not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I don't think regulation's the way either. I don't have a clue on how to solve crypto's problems.
Well, how in the hell would you regulate it? They just changed the, you know, it'd be like when they tried to regulate cuts of meat. You just change the name of the cut of the meat, and now it's no longer regulated.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't know where to go with it, but I think FTX has really punched a big hole in confidence of digital coins.
Well, again, it comes
down. Like that analysis, Morps. You do know that we still have prime A, B, and C meat, right? It's
yeah.
Still regulated.
No, I was referring to specific cuts when they were trying to tax specific cuts. But I don't know. I just it's one of those things where it's too nebulous to really get a good handle on it. I think really people just need to understand what's going on and. Because again, the technology is cool. Most of the technology behind the crypto and the blockchains is good stuff. That's not my problem. My problem is the implementation.
Well, I think the introduction, they're going to have to start promoting the central bank digital currencies. That's going to scare the living fuck out of the boomers. my generation's not going to want it either.
Yeah.
I mean, the youngins will want it because it's new and they can swipe it on their fucking phone. But, yeah, that's when the real debates will start, I think. And if there's no debate and they just go, here, here's your central bank fucking coin, and no one knows how it works, it's just going to be a real uphill battle to sell this shit, I think.
If they go central bank coin and actually have the public blockchain, it would be amazing. But they're not going to do that.
No, they're not. But they're going to have a hell of a job selling it unless, you know, and this is just going out. I'll be arrested for talking like this now. You know, a giant disaster happens and it's the only way out of an economic meltdown. You know what I mean?
I have a hard time envisioning how crypto would be the only way out.
I don't see how it would be a way out. But the only way they would... if they adopted just straight up blockchain and here's the digital currency from the Fed, Rand Paul would be backing that shit. Well, or Ron Paul, whatever the old crazy Texan is. The libertarian guy would be backing the shit out of that.
Look, I think they're going to force it on people in a way that, okay, you're on any sort of government subsidy. Yeah, that now gets done in CBDs, you know. They'll force it on the most vulnerable people first, and then they'll use that whole, well, you haven't spent all your money by the end of the month. You can only keep $3,000. We're just going to wipe that off.
But I don't see them even realizing that they're CBD. They're just going to put it on a card, and the card's just going to, in the background, translate back and forth based on who they're using it with.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to realize that the money will expire at a certain point.
Not at first. It'd not be like people who bought skins in Fortnite in the first season.
I mean, then they're going to go up to the bank, the counter, and buy something, and the fucking transaction machine is going to go, you have 3 unauthorized tweets. Please delete them before you can be using this service. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do see that one happening, the whole social credit score thing. Yeah, I absolutely see that happening.
Sorry, you can't purchase anything here. Or your bank has frozen you out until you apologize for making fun of Greta or some shit.
We see that you've done business with a local restaurant that doesn't have a high enough ESG score. We're going to need you to make a couple of social media posts about that before you're allowed to...
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
going to go
dark.
Post something nice about us for a 5% discount. You know what I mean?
That would be, I'm thinking, pretty far. The more immediate thing would be the death of cash. Because if they were pushing the whole Fed Bitcoin thing, or Fed cryptocurrency, it would be to do away with cash. That way,
eventually,
there
is
no... I would see it before the credit score shit being pushed.
No, it's going to be a slow creep of all three. And then one day you'll wake up and you'll realize what's happened. It's going to be a slow push, but I'd say about 2025, it'll really start being at the forefront of people's minds.
Well, the reason I'm thinking the cash would come first is how many people, and we know a lot of weirdos, but honestly, how many people do you interact with that do half their transactions in cash?
I hang out with weirdos, madmen, so they all deal in cash. They also don't openly talk in public and things like that unless they know the area.
Both my grandmother...
How many of those people that you work out with, hang out with, is it like 40% of the people, 30% of the people?
The best example
I'm hanging out with weirdos,
of.
But all of my family debit cards for just about everything.
The best examples I can think of, madman, are my grandmother and my father both do a lot of transactions in cash.
Yeah, I watched most of the extended family over the Christmas period did not pay for cash in anything. I was the only one, and my wife.
Most people don't, and I do cash more than anyone in my immediate family and my extended family, except from people old enough to be my grandparents. and less than half of my transactions are cash. I'd say maybe a quarter of my transactions are actually in cash.
You need to lift your game there, Madman.
Oh, sorry, am I cutting out?
No, no, I said with your cash game, you need to lift that up.
Game, should be at least 90%. Not gain.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of that I pay cash regularly is my rent. Everything else is auto debit from my checking account.
I have very few things that are auto debit. I hate that shit. I go in and I manually pay most of my bills. I've got a couple because that's when I signed up. That's all it was you had to auto debit. Mainly it's the web hosting stuff mostly, but all of my utilities bills, cell phone, all that stuff. My mortgage, they all try to get you to sign up for auto billing. And I'm like, fuck that shit. I want to know when this money's leaving my account.
Well, even with it not being auto billed, unless you're paying cash, you're still pretty much doing the debit card.
You pay cash or do you send it? You are right. But because I'm usually doing it online, you know, but no, I you know, that auto billing stuff can fuck right off. I do not like that.
The only thing that I do cash is my rent. Everything else is debit card. Oh, and my bar bill. My bar bill's cash.
That's understandable. So, also, complete non sequitur, but just it comes up. Anybody who works with wire a lot, and I've been doing that a lot for radio and stuff, and mainly power lines, get yourself a set of electrician's shears. These things are fucking awesome. I don't know why I've been relying on wire cutters and all these other... It's like, no, this little set of electrician's shears are just fucking awesome, man.
Or some tin snips.
I've got tin... No, these aren't like that. These are just basically a thick, stocky, sharp set of scissors with a little groove at the bottom to grip the wire. So if you're cutting it, you just, you know, slice through it. But then it's got a couple of wire strips on the side and a crimper in the middle. And it's just like... For just a little tool, that's, you know, because with that groove in the middle, you can strip wire by just sizing it manually and turning the wire. It's like, this is fucking cool. And yes, I've been sitting here working on some USB to power pole adapters while we've been talking. I mean, Madman, you play fucking Borderlands while we're gaming, so you're in show, so I mean... I can wire shit up. I can wire shit up.
I did drop out of that because it was about to be the last fight of the main campaign. I'm like, yeah, I'll wait until I'm not.
Don't want to be distracted for that. Anyway.
So, have we butchered this story?
Oh, well, there wasn't really a story. I had a couple of links that I was referencing, but... So something I want to do with our topics is I don't necessarily want to tie them to, and it's nice if there's current stories we can reference, but like I know RU's wanting to talk about OpenGPT, so I thought we might do that some next week, especially because you can get into the dead internet theory, and I think that's going to be a thing in the next couple of years. But,
I think it's now, man.
Well, did you see the article? Did you read the article I sent you about the Dark Forest on Steam? You should read that article. You'll enjoy it.
Oh yes, I've got that sitting aside.
Yeah, you'll enjoy that.
That's the science has developed. Oh no, that's the other one.
Yeah,
the Dark Forest. Yeah, I got that set aside for. Later.
I should probably throw that link in the show notes since we referenced it, and I'll send it to Madman while I'm at it, too. But the gist of the article is that... the science one is just an IHN story. That's
Yeah, no, I've got that for next month's show.
I thought you would enjoy that. Throw that link in there. But that's a fantastic read if you want to think about the dead internet theory. Madman, you don't know what the dead theory
is. I don't know what the dead internet theory is.
The dead internet theory is that the majority of people you interact with on the internet aren't real. That they're bots, especially on things like Facebook, Twitter, kind of that surface level internet where you're quote unquote.
Oh, the one I don't play on.
Yeah. We all avoid it mainly because you guys know me and I've been down, you know, saying that shit's shit for years. But But the gist of the article is that the only, because of the various bots and AIs and stuff like that, and it's only going to get worse with ChatGPT, is that the only real interactions you're having with people is like when you're in your private Discord groups or when you're like in our TeamSpeak server where you know you're interacting with somebody who's real, somebody you know, versus just, you know, everything like on, you know, from YouTube comments and Amazon reviews and Twitter and Facebook is like 90% bots, right?
When I heard dead internet, I was thinking of websites actually dying because so many businesses aren't opening up their own website. They're just doing a Facebook page.
No. It's not that. It's the idea that most of the internet you're interacting with on a regular basis isn't real. They're not people. They're dead.
Yeah, it's bots. Like, so 90% of what the average person sees per day on the internet is just bots.
I can believe that.
So, yeah. Well, and especially with some of these AIs, we'll get into this more next week, but with some of these AIs, you think about how many articles and links and blog posts and stuff like that you look at, that if you're not in a specialized thing where you kind of get this idea of who you're reading, like half these news stories, when we get into them here in a minute.
Dude, they're AI generated.
I'm betting most of them are, or at least have chunks of them that they are.
Yep, you can just tell it doesn't read like a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, actually, no, that's not true. I think I can tell the ones that were written by people. That's the one where I bitch that their editors aren't doing a good enough job cleaning up what they write.
Yeah, they're pretty good because chatbots are pretty good with grammar and spelling. But that's about the only way is poor grammar and shit spelling. And you know you got a human, but.
Well, that's also part of that article is it's talking about how eventually it's going to get to the point where it's going to be you meet somebody new online. Okay, great. Now prove that they're human. Prove that they're not a chatbot trying to sell you something. And the other thing I want to get into when we talk about it for topic for next week is how are we going to deal with scams and spam and shit when you can tell a chatbot, the classic, email scam where you claim, build a relationship with a person over email, like and then when you don't even have to have somebody sitting there on the thing reading scripts and doing it, you just have the chatbot interacting with them as though, go act like you're a boyfriend to them over the internet, right? Okay, you've got somebody who's been interacting with you reliably for a month now, ask them for money. And you don't even have to give good English because the bots will fix it for you. That's always the other good giveaway, right?
Well, there's another good one you got to think about too, Morps. The reading bots are getting better and better. They're not.
So we're
going to
discuss
anymore.
This now or next week?
Next week.
Yeah, that's another place you got to go at it is the chat bots can actually speak now, and they're pretty good.
Yeah.
So how long before you're in your TeamSpeak server or your Discord server and somebody new comes in and it's AI?
Well, since ours is invite only, it's going to take some work to convince one of us to let somebody else in if they are a bot. I mean,
yeah.
Most of the people I recruited into the server either I'd known online for years, like you guys through Second Life. Or I know in person, like Madman and Balt and Static.
Yeah, that's why I changed it to Discord,
Yeah. You notice what we don't use.
Oh, exactly, and never ever.
So, let's get into this article that Psychros sent me. It's pretty funny. It's from Ars Technica. Pornhub requires ID from Louisiana users to comply with the state's new porn laws.
There are other porn sites.
Well, that was what Psychro said. He sent me a couple of others, and ones I hadn't heard of. And I'm like, huh, I wonder what that is. So you look one up, and it's just like, oh my God. The fuck, man?
I think the only other one I know of is I think it's something like a hamster or something. Something weird.
Oh no, the ones he sent me were stranger than that. And I was just like, thanks, dude. I could have went my entire life without having seen some of these. Appreciate it. Would have been happier for it. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Does the article actually give the law? Because I doubt they're targeting Pornhub specifically. I think it would be online porn.
Well, let's just see here. You're right. It does get into the law in the second half. Pornhub and... Or go ahead, are you?
Oh, good luck, you know, trying to make age limits for porn by having an ID.
VPNs and other websites are things, so I
mean. Right. Like the war on drugs, the fucking horse is gone, the barn's burnt down, and no one's home anymore. You know, they can't stop it.
Pornhub and other major porn sites owned by MindGeek now require Louisiana residents to verify their ages because the state's new porn law that took effect, or because of the state's new porn law that took effect on January 1st, 2023. That wasn't a grammatical error in the article. That was me fucking up the reading. So, for what we know, it could be written by a bot. Quote, Louisiana law now requires us to put in place a process for verifying the age of users who connect to our site from Louisiana. The privacy and security of the Pornhub community is our priority, and we thank you for your cooperation. Unquote. The Pornhub website tells Louisiana-based users when they try to access the website. Pornhub owner MindGeek also operates Brazzers, YouPorn, and RedTube. All of those MindGeek sites now prompt Louisiana-based users to verify their age. Websites that violate the new state law could be found liable in civil lawsuits. That's going to be weird, especially like if you're hosted completely, if all of your infrastructure is completely somewhere else. You know what I mean? I mean, granted, this is kind of a long-running internet, you know, question of, okay,
are they
my
just
site's...
asking you, are you over the age of 21? Is that all they're asking?
No,
they're asking for
a
driver's license.
You need a driver's license or something.
Okay.
So, but I'm just thinking if, okay, somebody, let's say I'm running some porn website, you know, we've cloned Pornhub and we've got G15 Hub now. And we host it not anywhere in Louisiana. We have nothing to do with Louisiana. But somebody from Louisiana connects to it and I'm not following a Louisiana law. How am I found liable for a civil suit in Louisiana if I'm not operating in Louisiana at all?
Yeah, I don't know. That would be one for the Trade Commission, wouldn't it?
I need a lawyer to answer some of these
individuals
questions.
Individuals can reason this stuff out. The question is, does your jurisdiction have an extradition treaty with Louisiana? Because they'd have to charge you and then move you into their jurisdiction.
Was for a civil case?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can be sued and extradited for civil. Now, as far as if there's no extradition, you can be just tried in absentia. And they can then start seizing assets, which would be, do they have any assets that they can seize? And with it being a state, if you have assets within the U.S.,
yeah. We
have reciprocity with all of our states, so they would just start seizing assets you have in the U.S.
So I guess if it was me, I wouldn't come up with some age verification thing. I would just block Louisiana. It's like, nope, you're too much of a risk. You're not worth dealing with. I don't want to deal with you. If you're coming from Louisiana, you're blocked. I mean, that's what I would think most of these sites would do, but...
Then you have the problem of what if they use a VPN to get to your site? You're still in violation of the law.
I can't help that a Louisiana resident traveled to another state to connect to my service that I do not offer in Louisiana.
They did not travel. I said used a VPN. They're still in Louisiana. You're still in violation of the law.
You see, it gets weird. I don't know.
The only way for them to be in compliance with this law is not to require Louisiana state residents to prove ID, it's to require everyone.
See, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right. But I don't know enough about the law to argue it. You know what I mean? It seems like that can't be right, that Louisiana could pass a law and then just start taking property from people they disagree with. I mean, otherwise California would have seized everyone else's property already.
But they're not seizing property of everyone they disagree with. They're seizing property of someone that violated a law in Louisiana where they're doing business with someone in Louisiana.
But
now,
it's not my fault that somebody's using a VPN to look like they're coming from somewhere else. You know, how am I at fault if somebody's if somebody's, you know, using a third party service to get around, you know, my good faith effort to comply with your law by blocking anyone in Louisiana?
I don't know that it's a good faith effort, because VPNs have been a thing for how long, and how many corporations sell them for use in redirecting traffic?
You would have to prove that I'm actively ignoring the fact that VPNs exist and that I should have to do something about them, versus, you know, I mean, that's like saying, well, you have to make sure anyone entering your business, you know, we don't allow fireworks in our state, so anybody entering our business in your state, you have to make sure they're not our resident, and if they are, you're not allowed to sell the fireworks. I mean, that doesn't work.
You're not going with your state, though. Whenever I'm looking at porn in Louisiana, I'm in Louisiana. You're taking fireworks that we're not allowing in Louisiana and sending them to Louisiana.
Well, in that case, your resident is misrepresenting their location, because according to my service, according to my logs and everything I can see, they're coming from somewhere else, the fact that they're using a VPN notwithstanding.
Awesome. The way we wrote this law is you're required to check ID.
Well, in that case, I would say the law is unconstitutional because it's unenforceable.
It is enforceable. All they have to do to enforce it, have someone from Louisiana hop in a VPN, say they're in China, go to that website. Did they ask for an ID? No, you violated Louisiana's law. Sue them, and then take it to court.
Yeah, I don't see that making it very far in court, because that's somebody who's taken active steps to obscure their source. I mean, what you're saying is that because of the way the internet works, anywhere I can connect to, any state could pass a law putting requirements on my website, and if I don't comply with it, I could be held liable with it. I don't think that's right. I see this law getting challenged in court and shot down, because I feel like it's too difficult. Well, it's a jurisdictional problem, is my problem.
One data breach and you've got, what, everybody's fucking driver's licenses.
You know, there's that too. But you know, from Madman's point, I don't think that's right. I don't think it's right that Louisiana can pass a law requiring anybody operating a website, because you can access it from Louisiana, or potentially could use other services to get to it while somebody is physically sitting in Louisiana. You know, if they've gone through the effort of going through a VPN and appear they could be coming from Europe, but I'm still responsible for the fact that, no, I can't, you know, that doesn't work. So I feel like there's a jurisdictional problem there. So, let's go back to the article here and hear what it says. A criminal defense lawyer who goes by the name Public Defendering on Twitter pointed out the new Pornhub verification process in a widely shared tweet yesterday. Quote, "Hello from the surveillance state of Louisiana. People in Louisiana have to use their driver's license to go to Pornhub. This is truly wild," unquote, the tweet said. We tested, and that would be Ars Technica. Ars Technica tested the new process by connecting to a VPN server in Louisiana, then navigating to the Pornhub.com web homepage, making it appear that the computer was located in Louisiana. Without the VPN connected, going to Pornhub brought up the usual page full of porn videos that can be viewed without any identification or login. But when connected to the VPN server in Louisiana, going to Pornhub.com instead brought up the page titled "Please Verify Your Age to Access Pornhub." The Pornhub verification page has a link titled, quote, "Check My Age." Clicking that prompts the user to create an account with all past trust, which in turn prompts the user to verify their age with LA Wallet, a Louisiana government mobile app available on iOS and Android. Oh, my God. LA Wallet allows you to, quote, obtain a legal digital replica of your Louisiana driver's license on your mobile electronic device, the app says. The new Louisiana porn law says websites and service providers must not retain any identifying information after a user provides their or proves their age, and Pornhub has a message telling users their data is safe. Quote, "We guarantee that Pornhub does not collect any data during this process. This process is carried out by reputable service providers who specialize in verifying the age of online users. Your proof of age does not allow anyone to trace your online activity," unquote, the page says. The same process requiring LA Wallet is implemented on browsers, YouPorn, RedTube, as confirmed by visiting the sites when connected to a VPN server in Louisiana. AllPass Trust, the age verification vendor used by the MindGeek sites, has provided a privacy policy, and they've got a link to it. Louisiana's...
All right.
Go ahead.
I got a workaround.
Okay.
DuckDuckGo. Fucking all... Any setting... Right, so I show me everything and type the pornography you want. Images will come up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is bullshit. They are wasting their fucking time.
Louisiana's porn law was signed by Governor John Bel Edwards, a Democrat, on June 15th and slated for a January 1 effective date. Quote, "Online pornography is extreme and graphic and only one click away from our children," unquote. The law's Republican author, Rep. Lori Schiskel, I'm sure I said that wrong, wrote, quote, "This is not your daddy's Playboy, and if pornography companies refuse to be responsible, then we must hold them accountable. This law is a first step," unquote. The law's text says that, quote, "Pornography is creating a public health crisis and having a corroding influence on minors," unquote, and requires porn websites to verify seeking that people seeking access are at least 18 years old. Quote, "Any commercial entity that knowingly and intentionally publishes or distributes material harmful to minors on the internet," and that's vague, "harmful to minors on the internet from a website that contains a substantial portion of such material shall be held liable if the entity fails to perform reasonable age verification methods to verify the age of individuals attempting to access the material," unquote, the law says. Sites can comply by reviewing users' digital identification cards or by using a commercial age verification system that relies on either government-issued identification or, quote, "public or private transactional data to verify the age of the person," unquote. The law further specifies that websites and third parties that perform age verification, quote, "shall not retain any identifying information of the individual after access has been granted on the material to the material," unquote. The law applies to websites that are at least one-third of the, quote, "total material meets the definition of material harmful to minors as defined by this section," unquote. Harmful material to minors is broadly defined in the law to include anything that's generally considered pornography. Companies that violate the law can be sued by individuals, quote, "for damages resulting from a minor's accessing the material," unquote. The law includes language to prevent news organizations and internet service providers from being held liable. So,
useless.
Largely, because, I mean, again, this goes back to what Madman and I were discussing, is if my website has no infrastructure in Louisiana, my business is not incorporated in Louisiana, I have nothing to do with Louisiana, but somebody who lives in Louisiana can access my website, you know, yeah, I feel like that's... I feel like you're asking for jurisdictional trouble, because I don't feel like you're basically saying we can regulate what's on the internet from Louisiana, and you know, and with the argument Madman was making of, oh, they used a VPN, you should have accounted for that when you tried to block Louisiana. I don't know that I agree with that, but I can see his argument. His argument has merit.
Yeah.
And it's like, I honestly don't know how that plays out. I mean...
And a ruling in a court might be, by blocking Louisiana, if that's the choice they decided to go with, might be good faith enough.
Well, because it's like, yeah, I mean, I can't account for everyone who makes efforts to appear to be coming from somewhere else, right? That's
well,
not a,
the reason
is
I brought
that a reasonable
up the VPN
expectation.
Is, at this point... Looking at VPNs could be reasonable because, like I said, they're actually being marketed to get around jurisdictions. If you ever listen to any VPN services, like you can watch more Netflix anime if you say you're in Japan with your subscription than if you're in Ohio. Or watch sure. the BBC for free.
You're right.
Hop in.
You're absolutely right about the use
public
of VPN.
Knowledge, and this isn't something that you have to be on the internet. It's advertised on TV. It's advertised on the radio. So I could see that it being argued that a business wanting to stay in internet compliance with any regulations, take that into consideration.
I mean, I don't know. I could see that go either way, because the argument would be what's reasonable, what's a good faith effort, right?
Yeah.
You're saying, you know, because they're using VPNs to check the Pornhub system right now, because of that's how you would do that. That's from a technical perspective, that's a valid test, right?
Yeah.
So I could see that, but at the same time, on the flip side, the only way a provider could theoretically prevent somebody in Louisiana from being able to use a VPN to circumvent their attempt at blocking it. I mean, because Pornhub's going to have this problem now. What if somebody in Louisiana uses a VPN to appear to be coming from somewhere else? It won't prompt them to prove themselves. So,
yeah.
You know, you want to sue, you know, what's the company's? MindGeek? Okay.
MindGeek, I think.
Sit in Louisiana, have a kid use a VPN, and then load the Pornhub page and film them doing it, and sue. Now you can sue them under this law. I feel like I feel like that's going to get weird quick.
And the law has a second problem in it too. Now that you've read it out, is you have to show harm to sue.
Okay,
and
show the
that's
kid
difficult.
On. Yeah,
because it's whenever you're talking harm in a legal sense, you generally have to show a monetary harm.
Yeah, here's the kids' therapy bills because they saw a tit, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So that would be difficult. I would have actually put in a dollar amount minimum just for violation, and you can sue them for that.
Yeah, again, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, of course, that's a question that very rarely gets that far in court before settlements usually come out to make them go away. So, you know, if somebody is taking active measures to circumvent your controls, are you still responsible? You know what I mean?
It depends. We've kind of adjudicated this. It depends on how good the active measure is and how extraordinary the effort was. Because you, as a bartender, if you sell alcohol to someone and they present a fake ID, you can still get fined and lose your liquor license depending on how bad the fake ID is.
Yeah, if somebody's managed to, you know, get a hold of the proper kind of printer and the proper paper and they're able to present an ID that's very convincing, that's not your fault.
Yeah, but
I've already cut most of the other stories I had queued up to talk about because of that. So,
just letting you know.
Yeah, well, I do want to get to the dojo because you'll enjoy this one. So, but this is kind of what I wanted to do with decking, was I did want to focus more on the conversations and less on just burning through all the stories.
If it doesn't work,
we can go back to just reading stories. But this is what I wanted to try doing. Anyways, it's an experiment. Go ahead, Megan.
And when it comes to this particular issue of porn, they're actually trying to catch up with the internet age rather than pass a completely new set of laws. If you remember growing up, Morps, because we are the generation straddling the before the internet and after the internet, if you wanted to look at titties for a big chunk of our underage life, you had to go buy a nudie mag. If you bought a nudie mag, what did they do? They carded you because you had to be 18. You have to be 18 to purchase pornography everywhere in the U.S. The way internet pornographers have gotten around that is they stopped selling pornography. They're giving it away and they're selling advertisement. The argument behind the laws wasn't that you couldn't make money off of pornography. It's children shouldn't be exposed to it because it can warp and degrade them. You shouldn't expose children to this. Once they're adults, they can make their own choices. So they're just trying to bring the internet back in line with what, for a huge chunk of our life, was the norm.
Well, that's an interesting argument, and I think you're probably not wrong in your interpretation there, Madman. I just worry about the legal implications of one state being able to put restrictions on essentially the entire internet. If you're gonna say, oh well, you have to account for VPNs, you have to account for circumvention measures. I mean, if you say, you know, if we say in a court that, you know, hey, anything says it's coming from Louisiana, we're going to apply the controls to try to comply with the law, whether that's blocking or requiring an ID or whatever. In my mind, that sounds like a good faith effort. Somebody's trying to comply with the law. Because I understand from a technical standpoint how hard accounting for every circumvention measure would be, being that I'm aware of most of them. I'm aware of a number of them. I'm not even going to say most of them because there's lots. But they all essentially involve bouncing your connection off of another machine somewhere on the internet and detecting that. The Necco we set up for watching movies and sharing stuff, there is no way for anyone to tell that thing is not coming from the data center it sits in. Because it's not even a VPN. It's a remote-controlled box. So, If RU is using that to connect to something, he looks like he's coming from the United States, there is not a technical way to tell that connection is not coming from where that box sits, because there is nothing that is going to indicate that it's being remotely controlled.
Nope.
Whereas a lot of VPNs, because of the DNS route and the packet rewriting that happens with the VPN, it's entirely possible that you might be able to tell that, oh, this is coming from a VPN because of a packet rewrite. Usually that's poorly implemented VPNs, but you can sometimes do it. Usually though, when you're trying to do traffic attribution to a VPN, you're just looking at the IP and, oh, that's owned by, you know, whatever the VPN company is, or a data center. So, but the implication of that is that if you want to be in compliance with this law, you also have to block all VPN traffic. Period. Full stop. And
or
I have a
require the ID on that.
Well, right. So everyone has to show ID because Louisiana has a law, and I have a problem with that. But this is, you know, California having a law is why you see this substance is known to the state of California to cause cancer on every bloody thing. So, you know, again, your argument has merit. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying I feel like there's a problem with it, and I just can't articulate it because I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah, it comes down to what would be considered good faith, and that's going to change depending on
Judge you get, yeah.
Well, not just what judge you get, but even if you get the same judge, it's going to change as technology develops.
Yeah.
Because what was a good faith effort yesterday might not be a good faith effort tomorrow if there's a breakthrough on how to track people.
Yeah. I mean, that's just going to be a mess to sort out until we figure it out. But we are getting close to time, and I do at least want to cover this dojo. So, okay, and I was not trying to cut you off, Madman. I just looked at we're already over time, so
oh, no problem.
So, anyways, because again, I don't know who's right on that. I really don't. So what I have for you, dojo tonight, is this GitHub link called Mini Passwords, and this is fun. Essentially, it's a little over. Actually, he has the count. It's 2,839. Default passwords for various systems in a CSV file that he's been maintaining and updating. And when you go in and look, he's got Air Connect, he's got Superstack switches, he's got all kinds of stuff in here. UPSs, various PC BIOSes, Adobe stuff. And it's just default usernames and passwords, you know, Apache Tomcat, all of it. And, you know, it's just a nice CSV file, so you can reference it. And I could
this
see
huge
lots
rainbow
of
table.
Possibly. Well, rainbow table actually requires you to have the database of passwords you're trying to crack, right? This is, I've got some device, you know, I've bought this 3Com device off eBay. I've reset it. The company that makes the documentation is long gone. The website's gone. Archive.org didn't catch it. Cool. Well, I can look on here. It says, okay, it's for 3Com, it's Telnet, and it's manager, or monitor, or whatever. So this is just a nice collection of default passwords, as well as, you know, a fantastic reference if you've come across a D-Link router you think may not be secured.
And honestly, this is a tool I could probably use. Well, I'm not going to need to use it because mine's new enough that it doesn't matter. But I'm going to be resetting my router here pretty soon because I apparently wrote down the Wi-Fi password wrong.
Oh, no.
And none of the ones I usually use are working, so I can't get my Roku on it.
Well, the nice thing about this CSV, though, is there's enough information in here with the manufacturer and the username and the type that if you've got a script that's doing enumeration of a system, say various Novell or Nortel or Netgear systems, and it's able to identify a device to the point that you might be able to look it up with the additional data that's in this table he's built, and use that to devise a login and test it, you might have an enumeration script that's able to go through and use this kind of data to identify devices with a default password for whatever reason you might have to do that. So, and there are both good and bad reasons to do that. But anyways, that's all I've got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it, Pure Decking every Thursday, now that we're back. The Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit. Closing thoughts, Madman.
Oh, I kind of like the format of arguing stuff, but both those stories had a lot to argue with.
Well, and that's, I'm going to need to work with you guys and make sure I'm picking stuff that does.
Because there's one counter that we didn't get to with the porn one that I want to discuss with you in a bit.
Oh, no. We're going to be going at this all night, aren't we?
Not all night. But a couple more sentences.
Mad, all right.
I'm fine with you conceding defeat.
Oh, well. Wow. All right, are you closing thoughts?
Smash your phones and pay in cash. Make it this year.
Or at least have a backup plan. Actually, that'd be a thing. You know, you have preppers who like go through and, you know, occasionally do a weekend in the woods testing their gear and stuff like that. That'd be a thing. It's just, you know, a couple times a year, once a month, something like that. Do a I don't want to be tracked weekend. You know, ditch the phone. You know, if you need a phone that badly, get a burner or something, right? Only operate in cash. You know, keep an eye out for
and
cameras.
Go,
try
and
not to
go
look like
for
a
trip. Huh? Go for a trip. Stay in a hotel somewhere. Yeah.
Or just getting off the internet and ditching the phone for a week is a good thing.
Well,
spend time with people.
I'm thinking in terms of RU's example. Don't have any ID. Don't have anything. Just see how gray you could operate.
Oh, no. Keep your ID with you at all times.
Well, okay, yes.
Because you don't want to get jacked by the cops for not having it.
Don't present it unless you absolutely have to. Like, argue about it first, right?
Yeah. Try rent a hotel, you know, even if you have to go down to like a, I don't know, lower class hotel, you know, just see if you can get off the grid. See what it's like. That's it for me.
All right. That's all we got. So sound effects time.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
I'll pass it out.
Shut up, Wesley.